You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hi, I'm Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here, we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the best life.
We're in the Phoenix studio again.
Woohoo!
With Jamie Eason.
Hi, everybody.
Great. So we were just talking about how, mentioning that you're the OG fitness person, like beginning fitness. So I don't know if you guys know Jamie, but I kind of feel like I can understand. And so can you kind of repeat what you were just saying about feeling like not being the OG or what that means?
Well, first of all, I had to figure out what OG meant.
Right.
That's when I was like, well, maybe I am OG. So original gangster, if you don't know, like I didn't know. So I don't think of myself as the gangster type, but I guess is it like a, you know, a respect thing?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think it means like you've been around, you know, you've seen all the angles, yeah. Like you're someone to learn from. That's yeah. How I take it.
I think you're right. I think that's, you mean they seem to always say it positively, but that's why I looked it up. I was like, what are these people calling me? but yeah, no, I don't feel, I mean, I've been in the industry 13 years, so I don't feel like it's been that long, and it feels sometimes like a blink of an eye.
Yep.
But things dramatically changed, of course, when I had kids, and I've got a 6-year-old now. So 6 years ago, I was like, maybe my career's going to really take a nosedive, you know, not keep going, because I was busy all the time prior, shooting magazines, yep, all the time, workouts, working with lots of different companies. And so I thought, yep, it's going to slow down. I don't know what this body's going to do. I had my second at 40, so I'm 43 now. So I thought, I thought it was pretty much over. But oddly enough, my income actually kept increasing steadily, which was really nice, a nice surprise. But I think what happened is, fitness, there's different levels of fitness. And I think you just become more of an attainable level of fitness when your body goes through the crazy, you know, pregnancy phase. And especially at my age, you lose collagen. And, you know, then you become more aware too as a trainer, which I've always been, or for 13 years I've been, you become aware of just all the different needs people really have. I was that trainer before that was like, if it's important to you, you'll find the time.
Right.
And
yep.
Then I had a baby and wanted to punch myself in the face. I realized it's not that easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, it's oddly enough, the OG thing, I guess, is a respect thing. And I really appreciate that. And it is my goal to help people who've come after, you know, kind of navigate this world, because it's really been difficult. Fitness is to have a real career and make money, because it doesn't make very much money. You really have to make some good choices, and you're going to make some bad ones. And so I'm currently still dealing with the repercussion of some bad ones where I took sexier photos,
mm-hmm,
and I'm litigating about 15 or 16 strip clubs right now that just stole bikini images. They're not even like super bad, but I have literally flown, you know, like all over the place, and they count on the fact that you probably can't afford to litigate them.
Sure.
So me and about 10 to 15 models, depending on how many that the strip club stole, are litigating, and we've won several. but you don't win a whole
lot. Dang, I want to find out if anyone's using mine.
Hey, I can get you in touch with people. You don't win a ton. I mean, we're talking like a few $1,000 that you get, because after the lawyers all get paid and you're flown everywhere, they try to make you completely miserable. Yeah. They're like, we got to do a deposition. Mm-hmm. They sit you down and like interrogate you. And they're like, you're asking for this basically when you're taking these photos. Sure. And that's so insulting, because it's like, I would never, I mean, that's like saying somebody posts a picture of themselves in a bikini, I'm going to get this out, in a bikini on Instagram, and you just steal their photo.
Yeah.
They like the girl next door look, too. They're not choosing, and that's our complaint, is why don't you just use the actual girls in your club?
Right.
But it does invite a lot of garbage into your life. So you have to be really careful with what you're shooting, what your intentions are. It can hurt you. I've had other instances where my sexier stuff in the past came back and hurt my husband and all kinds of stuff. So
can you paint the picture for everyone listening? Like, what was the fitness industry like? Like, what was the landscape like when you first started?
Well, there wasn't really a strong female kind of muscle kind of angle. Everything was still more like Shape magazine. It was a lot of cardio base at the time that I kind of came in. There was a few, but they were more like the competition type looking model. And I really feel like I like to think that I kind of helped soften that a little bit, because I tried the competition thing. It all came from me having breast cancer, actually. I changed my lifestyle because I wanted to get healthy, and that getting healthy was like, I need to set a goal because I'm a terrible procrastinator. So I set a goal, did a competition, didn't really enjoy it because it's, you know, there's a level of health that, you know, you're kind of ignoring once you want to reach a certain level of fitness. And fortunately, I was either old enough to understand, or too vain, because I looked in the mirror and I was like, my body looks good, but man, where are these new wrinkles coming from?
Yeah, totally.
You get so lean, and I was just like, this doesn't look really healthy. So only for like a year out of my career, I tried the competition thing, and that's what a lot of the girls were doing. And so I just pivoted at that point and thought, I just want to show that muscle is attractive and pretty. And I sought help from photographers that weren't your traditional type of photographers. There's this one, Mike Byerly, mm-hmm. who shot really sweet, like, he shot a lot of lifestyle stuff. He shot some fashion. And he honestly didn't want to shoot with me the first time I reached out to him, because he has, he's a Christian, and he just was like, I don't know, it looks really sexy. That mm-hmm. stuff looks really sexy. And I said, no, please, that's exactly why I want you, is I don't want to go in that direction. I want people to see it as pretty and just put me in a dress. And so he did. He took a chance on me. And I really feel like putting that stuff out there made women, a lot of the women that were following me, go, wow, I want to be pretty. I want to have muscle and be pretty, because muscle looks healthy and fit. But I just want it to look attractive, and I want to feel better in my clothes and confident. And that's what I really tried hard to do. But now it's just taking this big swing back towards sexy because of social media. It's just everybody's like, the look at me, I need as many likes as I can get. And it's kind of sad to me, because for a while I felt like we were kind of in a good sweet spot.
Moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
You had mentioned a couple times about, you know, maybe making some mistakes, or, you know, maybe doing something that was maybe out of your integrity. So, like, what did that look like? Because I think, especially as maybe a model who wants to get more images and wants to get the magazines and wants to shoot with certain photographers, you kind of almost feel like you do need to do certain things because you just don't maybe have an honor code at that point.
Yeah.
And so, like, how did that shake out for you?
All right. Well, good question, because that was, you know, when you first get, I think, involved in the industry and you get in the best shape of your life, you can't help but have a level of ego involved. It's like, I'm looking actually pretty good. It might be the first time you've ever even acknowledged that about yourself or thought about that. And so you walk a little different, you know, you can actually buy clothes online and they really fit, and instead of going in chain. So you feel different. And I think it becomes kind of a little bit of an addiction. Like, what else can I do? How else? It's you mask it in a disguise of creativity. Like, oh, I'm just being creative, I'm going to go shoot all this fun stuff. But it becomes like pushing the envelope a little more and a little more, and photographers will push you, you know, and a lot of them will. And it's very important to find ones that don't want to do that, that you need to look at their portfolio and see that that's not something they want. I used to do this test. I used to say, can I bring, you know, at the time it was my boyfriend. And if they said no, I would never go shoot with them, mm-hmm. because I know they want to try to manipulate you or push you. And if they said yes, I usually felt better about it, because, you know, I just it was kind of my just one little test that I would do. But it really and truly invites garbage into your life the more sexy stuff you post. You start getting solicited by men, and the worst part, solicited by married men. Mm-hmm. You get comments that you would never want to show your relatives, your mom especially. So yeah, it's like, it's just, and then you start questioning, like, what am I putting out there? Because this is how people perceive me. They don't know you have half a brain in your head, if you're college educated, like anything. And yeah, I started really feeling like I was being given this amazing platform because I was growing this, you know, huge audience, but I was squandering it away on, you know, just popularity and my ego. And I really felt convicted about that at some point. And I decided, I really decided to start praying about it. Like, what do I need to be doing with this? Because I was utterly miserable. I was literally, I've been on the cover of over 80 magazines, and I was miserable, not paid. Mm-hmm. Too. People have this misconception that if you're on all these magazines, you must be rich and loaded and traveling the world, and they don't pay you for covers of magazines, and a lot of people don't realize that. And yes, it's an honor, it's totally an honor, but you have to be smart enough to parlay that into something else, and that's where the difficulty comes in on how to figure out how to work in the industry, how to really have a legitimate job in the industry. And that wasn't easy. I had to figure it out myself. And as soon as you garner sponsorship from the attention you got from the magazine, which is usually the next step, you're then at mercy of these brands who want to show you the way they want to show you. So if they put you out there in maybe a way that doesn't align with your values, you find yourself in an impasse. It's like, okay, I'm right back in the, I don't like the way people are seeing me. I want to control the way people see me because I'm awesome. I'm a nice person. I have a good heart, but people only see that you're sexy or whatever the company might want them to think about you. So
that's really an interesting place about the ego, because when you post those kind of photos, you seem to get way more likes, way more comments than you would maybe posting something more clothed. And
that's funny. I get a lot of unlikes. I mean, not unlikes. What's it called?
I think it was different back then.
When I post my body.
Right now.
I get triggers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know why I think that is? Because you have more women now. But I think like you probably had more men following back then. So when you were posting that, you're getting more men. At least that felt like that was happening for me. And I remember thinking, and I want your take on this. So like the strip clubs, they're saying, well, you're asking for it kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't believe any woman is ever asking for something like that, asking for rape, asking for unwanted attention, negative attention, sexual attention. And yet when I started posting more photos with my shirt on, I was getting less of that stuff and attracting it. So I had a really hard time with going, like, I actually realized that I was the problem. I was attracting the attention, but I was also upset because I'm like, that's not fair. And so I had this little internal battle.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
That's happened to me totally. And mm-hmm. It actually right now still happens to me. I'm like 75% women on my Instagram. And so I'm definitely swayed more toward women. And I'm 43. Being 43, I get a lot of the older demographic too. Mm-hmm. And when I post it, honestly, I think because I post so little of it now, and it's just like every now and then, I've discovered the only way they truly accept it is if I don't say anything self-deprecating, if I just put it out there and I'm doing something or whatever, and I just happen to be in that outfit to where they can see, you know, what shape I'm in. But if I draw attention to it with the post or I'm posing, like, look at this, that's when I get some unfollows or people not liking it. But if I do it the other way, I get a lot more likes. But the funny thing is, I mean, I don't know if you guys are like me, but at 43, I don't want to keep doing selfies. It's like, look at my new wrinkle, you know? There's not enough filters in the world, thank you very much. But yeah, I just don't want to, so I'm not really into taking photos of myself as much, but at the same time, I really want to encourage older women that the best is yet to come. We still have so much like life to live and quality of life. That's really and truly what fitness is about. And the happy side effect is we look great, you know? Mm-hmm. So I still want to show that stuff. And I think for me, that's the struggle now with where I am in my career, is showing that fitness is still a priority and should be a priority, but not making it all about the physique when you're online. It's not pretty or sexy to show that health is great or eating right is great. So unfortunately, yeah, it doesn't get as many follows as the other stuff. But I think I don't know. I think there's just this movement for women to become more self-aware and more empowered to like treat their bodies well. And I think now the biggest hurdle is just making sure they know they deserve it. And like, it should be a priority and they know they should do it. They know it's a great thing to do. They see other women that are examples, but I think for some reason there's this still weird stigma of like, I don't deserve it, or I'm not, or it's too late for me. That's a big one. It's too late for me. I can't, you know, make the changes. I've already ruined my body for this long, or I had, you know, 4 kids and it ruined my body. But you can still be the best version of yourself and at least be healthy. So
how did you start pivoting to making your own money versus just being sponsored by someone? Because I think maybe at the beginning of a fitness model's career, that's the other goal. Like, I just want to get sponsored. And I think also getting more likes and getting more attention for the sexier photos makes, and like, they may see on Instagram all the affluencers with hundreds of thousands of followers, so they follow them, right? They think that's the way to go. And they think that's the way to go because they have all the followers. Then they suddenly realize it's just men and they're not paying the bills. So they're like, you know, try to make a turn. Maybe sponsorship is the way. And then they're going, oh, sponsorship is kind of doing the same. So where was your pivot of going, okay, sponsorship maybe isn't the way, or maybe it was, like, where was your pivot there? So you were like, I'm my own brand now.
Yeah. Sponsors did help because, of course, you're getting some money. But the first, when you're younger, especially, or new to it, your first inclination is, oh, I'm going to go buy a new purse or something. It's not like to invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. So I fell prey to that. It was like, oh, I got some money, so I'm going to go like on a vacation, or I'm going to go do something fun. So I woke up really fast and realized that I needed to do something with that. So I started using that money to try to create my own things. I'm not tech savvy. It's a wonder I've made it this far, to be honest. But I did my best to partner with people that knew what I didn't know. And I sacrificed a lot of money for that because I have to share profits for that, which is part of it. But in truth, I do a lot less work. So it's kind of a, you know, you have to decide. You'll make a lot more money if you can figure out the tech stuff and do it on your own to deliver your content. But for me, I made a career out of the last, gosh, at least the last 7 years, partnering with brands, doing programs for them. But I will be completely candid. I will make them $500,000 and I'll only get like $70,000. And I did the whole thing, whole thing, filmed it, everything. So, I mean, it's a big chunk you're leaving on the table.
Yep.
But for me, if I did 2 or 3 a year, I could spend all the time I want with my kids. I homeschool my 6-year-old and, you know, I wouldn't trade that time for the world. And I don't have to sit and babysit a lot of that stuff because they do it. They do the marketing. They do all this stuff. So it's really, you have to decide what you want to do. Now, if you're making money on your own, as I started to try to get little things here and there, the way I left bodybuilding.com is I was like, what do I do? Because this is a big chunk. I mean, we're talking 6 figures that I just was gone. Mm-hmm. And my husband's a worship pastor and it's like, he's never going to make enough money to just like, well, we couldn't afford the house at that point. It's like, what are we going to do? So, I found a few platforms online. One was DietBet. DietBet was at least a good little buffer for me for a little while. As a host, you can make money and people join, but I made it a goal to really overserve these people so that it would be a positive experience for them. And so I would have this kind of thing, a cushion, while I figured out some other things. So then my other goal was I wanted to start finding these brands that I could collaborate with to either write or do posts, because I had built a following at that point, but I don't find affiliate marketing very profitable. Mm-hmm. I just think it's kind of a lot of work. I can't believe bloggers do it as much as they do, but blogging is a great, you know, option too. But really and truly partnering with people to create these programs was where my bread and butter came from. But if you do want to do the online thing, to go back to that, I found what was really important was for me to go look at the brands that really and truly I wanted to work with. I went and found their about section, what their mission is, all those things. And then I created a post that looked like I was using it in my real life, which most of the time I would, because I never promote things that I don't. But for example, Susie's Donuts is, they're healthy grain-free donuts. Okay. And my kids, you know, you don't want to deny kids, even though you're trying to be healthy. You want your kids to have fun stuff. So Susie's Donuts, I really wanted to get like, try more of their donuts and stuff. Their stuff's good. So I crafted a post where I was making homemade donuts, and I just put that it'd sure be nicer if I could just get a healthy donut every now and then and not have to make these all the time, even though, you know, because I'm just in a hurry. And I tagged them, and then I tagged them a couple times, and they sent me like a year's supply of donuts.
Love it.
For my kids. I'm like,
I don't want to have to cook these myself.
Yeah, but when you do things that fit for them and you promote them in a really great way, I think even if you're a small, you don't have a lot of big followers, you never know. You could at least get something from them. You could get a thank you, you could get a repost. You know, all of those things are valuable because the repost might get you some new people that you can market to if you have a business. So, but I've done that with magazines too. Strong Magazine, it's Educate, Inspire, which is different than Oxygen, which ironically is strength. They want to show strength training, performance. So it's different. So when I would post a fitness photo, I would be doing something and I would educate. I would say something educational underneath and then I would tag Strong and they would repost me a few times. And then after a while, because they obviously knew me if they're reposting me or are aware of me, you ask, I would like to work with you. Can I write for you? Can I do it? You know, that's when you can do the ask because you've been doing something and they've been acknowledging your effort, you know?
They obviously know you though.
Well, I've seen it work for a lot of people though, because it's really just about, people will be bold. They do it to me all the time and they'll ask for something.
Sure.
And out of goodness of your heart, you'd like to reciprocate. But if I did that for everybody, especially the charity things, which, oh my gosh, you wish you could help every single person.
Yeah.
But if I post that, every other post on my page is going to be some charity thing that's sad, you know, and my page will turn into that. And so I have to really be discerning and pick and choose things that really, really capture my attention or my heart. And it's the same with people wanting to post or wanting you to post their content or help them. It's like, it's got to be so in line with me, or they keep doing something supportive over and over again to you that you're like, man, this person is just really... And they really, really, really want to support you. They want to be, you know, I don't know. You just feel like you need to reciprocate in some way, even if it's just posting them in your story, saying this person is just really encouraging and, you know, whatever it is. So don't be a nuisance, but I think that stuff really does work because, I mean, it's human nature for you to feel like, man, this person just loves me.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you manage that, though? Because I'm sure you get people all the time who are maybe pitching you on something or, you know, so, like, how do you... I mean, I'm sure they're great people, but it's just the mat. Like, everyone just wants your attention. Like, oh, my God, if Jamie just knew who I was, then maybe something would happen.
Yeah, well, thank you for thinking that. I don't think that I'm all that great where everybody wants my attention for that, but... There are quite a few that I'm really surprised that that I do get solicited as much as I do. For instance, there was one I'd really like to actually work with her. She created a product called Baby Basics. She's a registered nurse, and I'm not going to post her yet though because she has a product that she created and it's not completely done. She needs to have it completely done. I need to know what the user experience is. If I'm going to ever post anything, you need to give me access. I need to be able to see what it looks like. I need to see if it works. You know, if it's going to take a while for me to figure out if it's efficacious, you might need to wait for 3 months if it's a 3-month program, and it might be longer than that because I probably can't start it right now.
Yeah.
but all that matters to me. I will never put something out that I don't know if it works or not. And the Baby Basics thing is wonderful content, but the problem is her user experience, the way she has it packaged, is difficult to kind of understand. And so I wrote her back and said, this is amazing content. It's for grandparents, you know, moms, for keeping your children safe, you know, choking, all these kind of different things that she can help you with. Everything people need to, if they're going to approach a partner or an affiliate, they need to have their, you know, their positioning, like what is this, who's this for exactly. They need to know their product needs to look great and polished. The packaging needs to look great. The user experience, their pitch needs to be like crystal clear. Like everything needs to be so perfectly clear and ready to go that all that's left is for me or somebody to say yes, you know, but it's very rare that that's the situation.
Yeah.
Usually there's things that are not done.
Right. So, they want you to fill in a gap or something.
Yeah, and then it's sometimes really shocking to them, but I will say, you know, it's not a money issue, but in order for me to do this, you can only pick like 2 or 3 things a year that you can promote that somebody else made, or you look like you're hawking everything in the world.
Sure.
So I'm very discerning with that, but also it's got to be worth it financially for you to do that. So Baby Basics, I don't know how many of my audience really is going to dive into that. So I think it's great content though, so I wanted to get it done. But but I would get like 75% of the profit and they would only get like 25%, which sometimes is shocking to them, but it gets you a new customer.
Right.
So you're getting some money. You can go to any other affiliates you'd like to do the same exact thing with. It's going to get you some money and then you're going to have a brand new customer to market to. So they've just got to understand that that's really the way this affiliate stuff works. It's not, you know, I'll give you 5% of my sales, which
I would give people 100% to get access to new people because I'm thinking they're going to buy like other things from me later on.
I'm hearing more and more people saying that. Like I know some of the really big affiliates like Joel Marion, people like that, they have to have 100% of theirs. I don't feel like I'm quite Joel's level. So I'm okay with 75%. But yeah, I agree with you because you're going to be able to have a customer that you can then
have a relationship with for the next 5 to 10 years. And who knows
absolutely
what that will look like. It's very cool.
So the baby thing, I am really curious about how getting pregnant, having a baby, now two, but how that going, like right when you got pregnant, how were you thinking, like, is this going to affect my career? Were you worried about body image stuff? Were you thinking like, if my body's a mess, I can never do this again? I want to know all of that stuff. Cause I think a lot of women probably have those same concerns or like even showing off their stomach after pregnancy when they're in fitness. So I want to hear like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess ignorance is bliss because when I first was pregnant, I felt great. You know, I was not the cute pregnancy, you know, like model girl at all. I was big and swollen everywhere. But so first of all, I did not look like a lot of these other girls end up looking online. And I felt so frumpy that I went to the grocery store and bought this organic hair color stuff. And it turns out it was Latina color of the year, not my color. Like some reddish brown. I don't know what it
was. And Jamie's like blonde and has been blonde for a long time.
It was so weird. You're pregnant. You just do weird things. I felt great during pregnancy, but then all the wheels fell off at the end and my birthing experience was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Like I was ready for the natural birth. I'm fit. I'm healthy. Evidently, I have a really narrow hip girdle and I couldn't have the baby and they broke. This is the craziest part. Everybody is always like, what? I wanted natural birth, but at this point they had pumped me full of Pitocin and all these things to make me go and I couldn't go. They broke the epidural needle on my back 3 times.
Ooh.
Well, they got it in the third, but it curved. My back looked like I had been in a car wreck. It was so bruised and swollen. And the doctor said, I've never had this happen before. And I was just like, lucky me. But anyway, when I went home that day, I weighed more from all the edema and swelling than I did with the baby in my stomach. And so, yeah, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, oh, I shared the picture online because I literally look like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. My thighs were hanging over my knees and my belly was hanging over my girl. I couldn't even see my business.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I was looking in the mirror like, what in the world? Nobody I had seen at this point looked like this. Right. Really hadn't really shown it. So in 3 days, I had lost 26 pounds of water. Really? So fortunately, I called a doctor friend of mine and he was like, drink, drink, drink. So so that did help. And I got down, you know, a lot better. And I was able actually to get in decent shape after that. But it takes a lot longer than people think, because the reality is people rush it. And this is something I learned the hard way, but people rush it. And you know, the little belly pooch a lot of us get, not just from babies or just the distension of your baby belly. It's really from your back muscles. Your back muscles carry that baby so long that they're super weak. Mm-hmm. And I see all of these women that immediately go back to exercising. And if your lower back isn't very strong, when you do squats, when you do all these big movements that push your stomach out, you end up with this perpetual tummy pooch. And it could have gone back in if you just were patient, but because social media perpetuates this need to get in shape right away, and I was no different. I'm like, I'm a fitness expert. I need to get in shape fast. I realized I was making my stomach worse. So I did have diastasis where you have ab separation. It wasn't terrible. I was really careful with that part, and I'm really fortunate that I'm connected to so many great professionals that helped me with what exactly to do. But again, there wasn't a lot of focus on my lower back. And I threw my back out trying to pick up the baby once, the worst I'd ever done. Mm. So anyway, supposed to be like this fitness expert, and I found myself a hot mess, just like in pain, and you know, my stomach was not looking the same, and looser skin than I ever had. So fortunately, it dawned on me, my back is messed up. I need to focus on my back. And as soon as I got all the focus on my back, away from anything about my stomach, everything started to kind of come in more. Mm. I was really careful about any squats and things I did. I did not work out seriously until 9 months after birth. And most people are trying to do it, like, what do the doctors say?
Six weeks.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. That's way too soon. And, I mean, you're not even, the baby's not even sleeping enough for you to sleep to get recovery. So you don't need to be working out.
And some women even want to do it before then.
It's crazy.
We were speaking on this yacht thing, and there was a woman in the back who was breastfeeding, and Joe and I had gone up to talk, and we were kind of just saying, like, you don't need to rush. And she was like, I just want to thank you guys for permission for saying that, because she's like, I feel like I need to be going out there and doing stuff. And I'm like, she's sitting there. No, she was pumping, not breastfeeding. Yeah. Baby was like, she's pumping. I'm like, you're still breastfeeding. You're here. Like, there's no reason you need to be going to the gym and pushing yourself.
Yeah.
But do you think that the fitness industry kind of perpetuates that? Like, I see these girls who are doing a show and they're holding their 3-month-old, and you're like, okay, so I should be able to, she did it, I should be able to do that. Like,
I haven't seen that. That's crazy.
Oh, I've seen a few.
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of women need to, especially in that scenario, like doing competition and you've got your baby. Why are you doing competition? Like, that's the, you've got to think about, what is this really for? Because that time will go so fast with your baby, and it takes a lot of time and effort to get ready for competition. So not to say that's wrong or anything like that, but it's just your priorities. Like, I think sometimes people will look back and think, you know, I probably didn't need to rush that, you know, because you can always get in shape and in better shape at any time. But I think social media makes us feel like we need to do it fast because we see other people doing it fast, or it looks like they did it fast, and we never know if it's Photoshop. I try to be really transparent with my stuff. I showed the fat bastard look, you know, all that stuff. And a lot of women messaged me and were like, oh my goodness, because they just couldn't imagine. But in my second experience, I made sure just to have a cesarean right away because I knew I wasn't going to be able to have the baby naturally. But I had loose skin. And I remember the first time I went back to modeling, which was a while because, first of all, I just didn't, it wasn't a priority to me. Like, I love being with my kids, and I work out for a different reason now. When you have a baby, mortality becomes like at the front of your mind. You're just like, you know, you quit working out for the aesthetic and you start thinking longevity. I gotta be here for my kids. I wanna see my kids' kids, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you just flip a switch and everything is about how healthy you can eat and less about, let me see how, what I can build this body to look like. And I found myself there. And fortunately for me, magazines had a lot of grace with looking at the different demographics of women, realizing that that is a standard that's really not necessary. And we talked about it a lot, and they gave me an opportunity to, you know, do some magazine covers when I was not in my best shape. It was hard. It was really hard. Like, Strong Fitness magazine, I did their cover at 6 months postpartum, and I definitely did not feel ready at 6 months because, like I said, I didn't even start really working out until 9. So I was eating really well. And our bodies are miraculous. Like, they just go back on their own a lot. And I think that's a huge part. Women are in such a big rush, but if they just wait and let, you know, God's design do its thing, it's going to come back, you know, so, so much. And you're going to attribute that to all the exercise you did. But really and truly, it's just your organs are all moved around. They're all going back. and you just need to give it some time and enjoy that after, you know, baby experience. And yeah, I learned that to do that better with my second. And I'm sure glad I did it because I think the less stress I put on my body, the better it responded the second time around. So
were there any like professionals, like fitness people that you kind of look to who are doing really good, like postpartum, like, is that something that you talk about at all, or like postpartum training for moms? Like, is there someone that you kind of went to?
I did a post-pregnancy plan with a doctor. I created one, but bodybuilding.com owns the content. I don't own it. I did it with them after my first child, but I no longer work with them. And it's a good program. It really is. But it lacks because it doesn't address the diastasis. Mm-hmm. And nearly everybody experiences that. So I really recommend women to go to a specialist first, or find somebody, a rehab specialist, or if you have a natural birth, somebody who can work with your pelvic floor, and do all of that stuff prior to any exercise. There's some really great pregnancy programs online. I didn't create one because for me, I did that with bodybuilding.com because there was a doctor involved. But as a fitness professional, I won't do a pregnancy plan where you're working out pregnant, because for me, like, that's really risky. And God forbid anything ever happened to somebody, I would, or the baby, I would just be horrified. But in post-pregnancy, there's so many different experiences. You really need a medical professional or somebody who, you know, really and truly that is their only focus. Knocked Up Fitness, there's a few different ones online that I've seen that I think are really good. Massey Arreyes is a fitness professional. I don't think she does baby focused stuff, but she's done a really good job navigating the baby to getting fit again. Mm-hmm. She only has one child. I will say it was easier when I only had the one child, because you don't have the other child running around screaming while you're, you know, trying to do things in your life. And your spouse, if you have your spouse, which is hopeful, because it's hard on your own. I don't know how single moms do it, but, you can always, you know, trade off and get your time. But when there's more than one child, it's, you know, your body, like, you get pregnant a lot faster. You show a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Not get pregnant faster, but some people do. Yeah. Some people, it's like, wait a minute, weren't you just pregnant? So I felt like that was me, actually. And I breastfed for 5 years straight.
Dang.
I was so happy to have my boobs back. But, yeah, and I will tell you, I have augmentation from having breast cancer. And it does not matter when you breastfeed if you have augmentation. They still droop. So just so you know, but I was really happy to be able to breastfeed. But that's also, you know, you've got so much prolactin in your body, just like surging through your body, that it's hard to build muscle, because that's like the antithesis of testosterone that you need. Mm-hmm. So again, all these women that are breastfeeding, we have this thing in our mind, I need to get my body back, but you're fighting an uphill battle. So it's really so hard to tell people to be patient, but it's just really what it is.
I love that you said that you can always get in shape. Like, I think that that's definitely, and you'd mentioned this before we turned the mic on, about like women who are in their 40s or 50s feel like, well, I didn't start my 20s, so I'm never, like, it's easy for you to say, Jamie, you started in your 20s. Like, so what do you tell, I don't know, maybe a woman who's starting to weight train in her 40s and she's like, it's just all a waste?
Well, I didn't start actually until I was 29, and I didn't even have a real career in fitness until after 30. So, but my mom and dad, they were in their 50s, and my mom had gained weight, and she was probably around a size 10. Sorry, Mom, for telling people, but she was probably around a size 10, and she wasn't feeling really good because she's my height. We're 5'2", and she was used to being like a 0 or a 2. And so I just put them on weight training and said, you know, this is what you're missing. Sarcopenia occurs where you naturally lose muscle after 40. So when you lose muscle, your metabolism decreases, you burn less calories. So the only way to improve your metabolism is if we build muscle. So that is the big piece of the puzzle that so many of these women are missing. And it's as easy as starting a weight training routine and starting to eat well and replace some of the bad decisions that you were making with better ones. And I did that with my mom and dad, and my mom went down to a size 2. She's 65 now, and in the same exact shape. She still has her dark chocolate and wine, like, all the time. But as soon as she sees her body start to slip back out of shape and gain more body fat, she starts weight training again. And so I feel like a lot of women, I just did a group training with about 2,500 people, and the common denominator was no weight training with all of these women. Or they were weight training, but they were only doing it peppered in with their cardio routines, sure, and their kickboxing classes and all these things. And really and truly, if you're lifting weights 3 times a week, you're really in a maintenance phase. You're preserving the muscle that you have. If you're working out 4 times a week, you'll be making slow progress. 5 is ideal. 6 is if you're serious. You know, I'm really wanting to make change in a short amount of time, but it takes a lot of effort. You know, our bodies are highly adaptive. And so unless we keep putting, you know, new stimulus on it and lifting a little bit more, and you will not turn into She-Hulk. You know, it takes...
That's always a big thing, right?
It takes so much effort, and all that'll happen is you get tighter and more compact. And I tell women all the time that are getting older, I'm like, look, the moment we're born, gravity is pulling us down. Yeah. So unless you do something to lift it back up, we're just going to look sadder and sadder. Yeah.
I know, we did an aging episode. I was like, I feel like everyone's face just melting.
I know, yeah. Like, we need the face muscle thing.
Have you seen the tape where they like pull your skin and you tape it into your hair?
Oh my God.
Oh, I don't have the right hair for that, but I guess I'm not above it.
Well, yeah, face yoga is like, when I start wearing tight ponytails, you're going to know it's all like,
I know. I grew my hair out a little bit so I could have a ponytail. I've been missing out all this time on the facelift. there's face yoga.
Face yoga. Because they're like, well, it makes sense, right? There's muscles in here. It's like basic training for your face. There's
have you done it?
No. But I met the creator of it a few years ago.
Oh my gosh, we should do a video on that, you guys. It would be hilarious.
Oh my gosh, we'll all be doing like that.
I know.
That's exactly what it's like. So funny.
That's funny. Well, hey, you know what? I believe, like, my son has, both of my boys actually have accommodative esotropia, which is an eye condition for muscle. And they have double vision, and they cross their eyes to have a single image. And it's so funny. Doctors, eye doctors are just like doctors are with chiropractors. They don't exactly play well together. So eye doctors, there's a thing called vision therapy. They don't believe in it. They think that it doesn't really work. But I'm from a different school of thought, and I know about training muscles. And so vision therapy, my boys, we're going to start with my younger one. I just believe when you train any muscle that you can improve. I mean, we've seen people have accidents that aren't supposed to walk or, you know, so I'm not above face yoga.
Yeah. So on the aging, like we did a whole thing on aging, how has that affected your brand or not? And just personally, because we've been, so Jill and I have been single the last couple of years. And so coming out of a marriage and suddenly you're dating and now you're going like, oh, I'm not like 20 dating anymore. It feels like aging is a, I don't know, it's kind
it's
of
more on my radar. Yeah, it's more on the radar.
Yeah. So you've been like photographed since the last 13, 14 years. How has that played a part in just how you feel about yourself and going forward? Like, do you look forward to it?
Well, or you first of all, you're both gorgeous and you don't look your ages. So any guys would be lucky for sure. So, but yeah, gosh, to be single again, life would be so easy. We don't have our kids this weekend, right? My husband and I woke up right before I came here and we were like, man, it's so calm and wonderful in here. But the one benefit of being married is you kind of don't, you know, you don't worry as much about everything that you look like. But then again, if you don't, your relationship starts to be affected. So I really truly feel like aging is kind of on everybody's radar. Even my husband is like, man, I'm starting to have like new wrinkles. So, I mean, I think the guys, unless you're going for 20-year-olds, I think, you know, they probably feel the same. I think we always think of it as just a female thing, but with aging, the wonderful thing about health and fitness is that, especially with my job and as in regard to me having a career here, is no matter how old or what transition I'm going through in life, there's somebody doing the same exact thing. We're all getting older together. I've noticed that with my following. There are a lot of people that have been around since my OG, or I don't know if
that's your OG days.
My OG days when I first got into this. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, the aging part isn't fun, but it's inevitable and it's going to happen to all of us. And I feel like I met these ladies just the other night that were in their 60s. And I'll be completely honest, my husband helped me pick out my outfits this week because I wanted to wear this dress. It was like black and it had like bright polka dots and this ruffle thing. And he was like, oh, you're going to regret that choice. I was like, why? Because to me it was fun. And like, I liked the way my legs looked. And I was like, it's fun and a little out there, which I have fallen victim to the age appropriate kind of clothing thing. Mm-hmm. And my husband perpetuates it. He's a worship pastor. So he picked this outfit for me. It was like a pumpkin color. He's like, it's very fall. Well, looking at the pictures this weekend, I'm like, I look like I'm in a medical gown with a robe belt on it. And of course, I'm standing next to all these beautiful, like more sexy looking like fitness girls. Yeah. I sent my husband pictures. I was like, poor choice, buddy. And these 60-year-old ladies that I met were all decked out, glitzed out, and they had like cute, like they were form-fitting. They looked fantastic. And you know what? As a woman who I think I've come to a more conservative place in my life because I have two boys, I'm married to a worship pastor, I'm way more mindful about what I'm putting out in the world. I looked at these women and not even for a second did I think they looked like too sleazy, sexy, or anything. I was like, look at how cute and darling and how just awesome they looked. And I felt the confidence from what they had on. And I wrote my husband as soon as I got back to the room and said, I am not dressing this frumpy dumpy junk anymore. I'm like, I'm gonna wear stuff that like still shows that I care about what I look like. And you know, I'm not gonna wear like low cleavage. Nobody wants to see the 5 years of breastfeeding action, you know. But I'm not going to wear low cleavage and short skirts, but there's no reason to completely conform to this, like, you know, dowdy look. My mom, for a while, was wearing, like, everything doily related. I don't know what was going on there. Doily and animal print. And for some reason, I was like, I'll try the doily and animal print.
Oh, my gosh. My mom, who is 25 years older than me, let's match.
So, I don't know. We were going to some event, and I was just like, I'll just wear what she's wearing. And anyway, oh, my gosh, you guys. It was a big wake-up call that I was like, I've given up. I think I've given up.
You're like, this is my rock bottom.
So, I think really and truly, if we just, you know, realize that we're still beautiful and there's still value at every age, and it just, you know, if you keep trying and you keep doing what you love, like, I love makeup. You know, I will, if nobody can tell me at 80 that glitter is not appropriate, mm-hmm. I will be all glittered up. I will have blue hair from dyeing my hair 100 times. Like, I just know it. And you know what? It's, that's just fine. You know, and my husband actually ironically tries to get me in those more covered up clothes. But every time I wear something different, he's like, hubba hubba, I like
Bring
that
out. You're but, like, see?
Yeah. But I guess in his mind, he's like, I don't want to put that out in the world. Yeah. But at
he
the
doesn't
same,
want anyone else thinking that, but he wants it.
Yeah. But I think, like, in reality, like, he even looked at the picture of the pumpkin sheath this weekend. I was just like, yeah, not my best suggestion. I'm like, thanks, buddy.
I think we're burning that one.
Yeah.
Let's go to charity.
Go look on my Instagram. We'll see it right now. It's not cute.
Oh, my gosh.
But, anyway.
So funny. Yeah, we get that a lot because it was funny. I just went on vacation with my mom, and she brought, like, a white jean jacket, and she's like, can you wear this after Labor Day? And I was like, are we still talking about this? Like, I'm just like, yeah, of course. I think the rules,
what you want.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the rules, I mean, to your point, like, you have to like it. I think if you're feeling self-conscious yourself, then probably that's going to come off from an energetic perspective. But if, like, you're rocking it, you know, like, I don't, like, I have really small breasts, and I have, like, pecs from doing a lot of, like, chest exercise, and I enjoy wearing, like, low-cut things. To me, it feels, like, subtly sexy, but not over the top, you know?
Yeah.
Because you just have to kind of pick and choose.
I think so. I think play up the things that are, you know, good about it, that you do like. Like, I'm getting wrinkles around my eyes, but I still like my eyes when I put makeup on them, you know? So I think, you know, it's just a part of what comes. You can Botox, do whatever you want, and it's, you know, and to slow it down if you want to, it's inevitable. It's all going to get us at some point. But, and I think more power to you if you want to. I do chemical peels every month. You know, I had horrible sun damage from just being outside. My family owns a roofing company for 50 years, and from 3 years old, I was sitting on a roof. So, I mean, I've had a lot of sun exposure. And so that was important to me. And I was like, I want to get that off. So I did photo facials, and I was so glad I did. So I think, you know, do what makes you feel good, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If that means an augmentation or a lift or a tuck or this or that, or it just means working out and eating healthy to you, whatever it is, it's like, do it. You know, feel, this is, you get one life. You don't want to go through it miserable, you know, not feeling good about yourself. So.
So true. I have one more question. Do you have anything? This is okay. I want to make sure because I want to take it in a different direction. Okay, last question. So, social media wise, like, obviously your brand, like, people follow you for what you do and how you, and then you mentioned, like, you have increased your how much money you're making as a result of, like, really kind of taking your brand more seriously and not just doing the modeling stuff anymore. What gets your attention? You're scrolling the feed. What would, because I think we tend to think, like, we're here at a fitness modeling conference, you know, there's kind of, it feels like there's a way to do things. What would get your attention?
Oh, gosh. You would be like, you're the most boring person on earth if you saw my feed. It's like cat videos and home decor. Seriously. You know what? I had this mentality when I was actually really successful as far as, like, or the perception of success when I was doing all the photo shoots. I never moved to LA because I don't like the go see, like, you have to go and get, you know, they'd say yes or no if you're going to get this, you know, gig or not. I never liked that. It's not that I was avoiding the possibility of rejection. I've had a ton of that. But it just wasn't so important to me to go for everything. I would just stay in my lane, do what I loved doing, which was serving people. And I find myself doing that on Instagram today. I'm so busy trying to think of things for other people that I really don't have, or for serving my audience, that I don't really have time to, like, be on there a lot. And I find when I do start looking, I start thinking, oh, that video is so good. I need to make my video better, or, you know, all these things, when really and truly, if I just focus on serving my audience the best I can right now, you know, like maybe that does mean I get a better light so that they can see me better or whatever it is. But if I go to look at all that other stuff all the time, I'm thinking my message isn't strong enough. My lighting isn't good enough. My this or that. And all of that, you know, attention that I'm putting toward other things is taking attention from what I've been doing, which is serving people. So I'm not good at it. I'm not the best on social media. I will admit it, but I really have truly amazing followers. I direct message with people all the time. I get validation whenever I do have a product. I put something out and they buy it really quickly. So, and they're always like, they're like, you could just tell us, you know, you could write down one recipe and I'll give you money for it. You know, like they'll give me, they're so gracious about, you know, wanting to support me. And I think it's because I work so hard to support them. I don't charge them for everything. I give them as much as I can. And then if I've worked really hard to package something together, I've even taken recipes I've already put everywhere, put them all in one place and just said, really, it's just for convenience, but it costs X amount of dollars and they all bought it, you know? So I think part of that is just, I look online for entertainment. I don't really want the heavy duty stuff. I got enough drama in my own life. My kid freaking put a pair of poop drawers in my washing machine right before I left. And I washed a whole load of laundry with a big poop in it.
Shame on life.
It's terrible. I'm literally leaving for the airport, pulling clothes out, and a big poop falls out.
Oh my
I'm just
God.
Like, really? Really? And so when I needed a blouse that was in there, I was like, well, I'm not taking that one.
No.
So, but yeah, I have enough to do with my life that I'm just, you know, I can't go down the rabbit hole of Instagram. And I think we subject ourselves to too much to make us feel insecure. I think a lot of that's our own problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's, at every turn, my whole entire career, I've realized this. There's always somebody prettier, in better shape, smarter, all of these things. And so I, for me, you're going to make a connection with somebody because of your personality. There, you attract friends that are like you. You know, if you're chill and your friend's chill, it's because y'all are chill together. We all have that one kooky friend that's totally off the wall and we love them anyway. But hi, Angie, if you're listening. but most of our friends are just like us. And I think online, if we just find those people that are our friends like us and just really and truly be friends and serve them, and they want to support you. Just like my friends are like, hey, I'm doing this charity walk. I'm like, here's $50 for your charity walk. I'm going to always support them, even though I didn't get really and truly like something tangible from that. I supported her. So yeah, that's my goal. I just want to have those kind of relationships online and not be distracted by all the other noise.
Love it.
So many people need to hear that.
I know.
Thanks.
So this is the Best Life Podcast, and we want to know, what does Jamie Eason's best life look like?
Like if my dream life?
What is your best life? Like how it feels,
when you feel just like this is the best life?
Well, I love home life. I'm an introvert. Like this event or any of these kind of events, I feed off people's energy, and I feel like I do really great, like going back and forth. But literally when I get home, I like totally like close off, decompress. I wear a robe perpetually. I need to start a robe business.
I do too. I travel a robe.
I love robes. I brought my pillow, not my robe, but I'll do it next time. But yeah, like sitting around in my robe all day, like being kind of lazy. I love playing with the boys. I'm totally a homebody with like, what's the next project I can work on? I'm always, I like to garden. I mean, I didn't ever like to garden before, but to me, like going out and pulling weeds, I know that sounds probably miserable to some people, but I zone out and I feel like I'm in nature and I'm just, you know, taking care of things that I've worked really hard to build, like, you know, buying a home, a family, my, you know, kids. My biggest goal is just raising wonderful little human beings. And so if I get to be home and nurture that stuff, like that's my best life. That's when I feel really good.
I love it. So where can people find you, get your programs? Where's the best place to get?
To my Instagram probably is where I'm most active. Like if you ever want to talk to me, just DM me on there, but it's Jamie Eason Middleton is my Instagram. My Facebook has like over a million followers, but I'm honestly not as active over there because I find the interface harder. And then as far as online, I still partner with companies. I'm releasing a product with Oxygen Magazine. It's called the 60 Day Reset. It's like a metabolic program. I'm doing it with a really amazing accomplished nutritionist, Dr. Chelsea Axe, and we are releasing that at the first of the year. So I'm filming it in a week, going to Colorado, doing a bunch of exercises. I hope I do not die from the altitude change.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I
have you ever exercised up there?
I have, but not in like 100 years.
Yeah. I remember doing hill sprints there once, and I was like, what is the problem?
I know. Yeah. I literally will probably die, but I'm like, can we cut?
It's metabolic workouts.
Yeah, I know.
Look. Amazing. Well, you're the best. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know that so many people wanted your attention this weekend, so we are just grateful.
Thank you.
And we'll send all of the people to DM you, so be ready.
I love it. Honestly, I love spending time with y'all. I've missed you, and so appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thank you.